I lead you into rest, believing in without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you. Amen. 391, revive us again. 391, revive us again. 391.
But to trust and obey.
Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sight or a tear can remain when he trusts and obeys. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Number 4. Then in fellowship sweet, he will sit at his feet, or we walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he says we will go, never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen. One more. Testimonies. Okay. Well, what do you have? Do you have any testimonies today? This Easter Sunday evening testimonies? Anything you'd like to? I would have a song or something like that. Do the same.
What? Amen.
Oh. Oh, it was filled with spirit, man. It was filled with the food, too. That, too, man. That's good. That's good. Amen. Amen. Oh, that program was found. That was good. That's good. And yeah. Anything happened? Blessings? Testimonies? Blessings? Oh, amen. Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's good. That's good. It's good to hear that. Our music is just as good. Amen. Worked it together. Oh. The music continues.
Sister Betsy is a blessing. Before she left, she made it safely, by the way. Before she left, she texted me the program for this morning. She said she'll be praying for us.
Oh,
so
yeah.
In her flight, she had us in her mind and in her heart. She wrote down the songs. She wrote the program. She wrote down the songs, the sequence of which songs to sing. She texted it to me, and they just
everything worked out well.
It just flowed. So she's a blessing.
Oh yeah, that's good. That's good. Everything else is good. Well. Thank God that they at least we can have a blessing that today is Easter. I didn't get to be here this morning, but my heart was here with you guys. And I was too busy at the border. But it was quite a few people crossing, and it was nice. It was good. It was a good day. Everybody said, have a happy Easter Sunday. Oh yeah, come on, brother. Oh, Dave, come on up here. Say the last word before you leave. You're leaving tomorrow, Monday, right?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, Monday, tomorrow. It's a blessing to have you join us all these last couple weeks, or at least months. Yeah, join us.
Good evening, everyone. Hi. Well, this is the start of my career. Never thought I would actually be joining the military, like since recently. To be honest, when I was a kid, I wanted to always be a doctor. And then when I was 9th grade to 10th grade, I wanted to be an astronaut. And I was like, oh, but I hate math. I don't like math. So, and being an astronaut, astronomy like that, they calculate the stars and everything. So, I tried to find like a something that I would enjoy, something that I would something that I can see where my future can lead, and found the Navy. Not because like most of my brothers are like in the military, like. My Kuijun, he's in the Navy, and the one before me, he's in the Army. This is being in the Navy. I think God can use me here in a lot of things, in many ways, because a lot of sailors, I heard a lot of testimonies of like with sailors, they get saved through military, and. And I want to be one of those people that I can share the gospel to other sailors, because just hearing those testimonies, it just blessed me and inspired me to keep I call it keep serving the Lord even wherever I am. And I even thought of myself that I can actually be a missionary just being in the Navy, because I travel around. I'll be traveling around the world, and you know. And it's an opportunity for me to be able to share the gospel to whoever I meet along the way. And thank you, church family, just for being a blessing, especially personally in my life. You guys are all wonderful, and I'll miss all of you. I won't be gone for too long. 4 months, well, pretty much. Because after boot camp, I go straight to A school for another 2 months. I go to Pensacola, Florida, another 2 months, and after that, I believe I'm gonna get like a week off to come back here in San Diego and reunite with everyone. And after that, that's when I get my first command. So wherever it is, I'm hoping it's San Diego. People tell me like, oh, do well in school so that like you can have a choice to pick whichever command you wanna. Getting first, but for me, I'm like one of the most emotional people. If you know me, I'm one of the most emotional people. Like I don't want to be like away from the people that I love and care about. So like I would choose San Diego, but wherever the Lord leads me, let His will be done. Amen. That's all.
Thank you, David. Well. Any more testimonies? Any good things? Blessings? Any more blessings? We're happy to be here. Hey, sister.
What's a blessing for me, though? I'm going to go back to Ruth again. You know, normally when it's children's foundation, you need some music and everything. So I told her, oh, just make sure that when you leave, you know, you ask someone to be the singing, because I don't really need the singing for the kids. And she's like, oh, okay, I'll sing. Well, ask Teresa. Teresa, you know, she's good at singing. So she's like, oh, okay. So she asked her, to Teresa, and Teresa said, I'm not really good at music. So she said, I think you could do it, you know, just like this, just like that. And then here comes all the kids. They came, and I think this is the most number of kids that came. And this is the time that Ruth was not here. So I'm like, oh boy, why is it today? Why is it that Ruth is not here? But I just told the kids, because there's a lot of new kids that didn't come to our church and they're willing to sing. I just told them, like, okay, you don't know the song, just look at me and do the actual, like, whatever I do, you do it. You know, that kind of thing. It was a blessing because there's a lot. There were 8 babies in the nursery. The babies are like 4 months, 6 months. And those of you see that 2 years old and 3 years old were combined with Children's Sunday. So in my class, there were like 18 kids a while ago. And in the big kids class, there was 11. But it was a blessing to see Wilma, the
18.
Young Michelle was 3 kids, and Bianca helped us. And Sister Mary was with the big kids, and of course, the other guys were part of the team in the Children's Sunday. So it was a blessing to see, and of course, the nursery workers. You know, without them, the babies will all cry. So it was a good spirit, and all the ladies are working together. Not only ladies, but the people that are involved in children ministry. It was a blessing, and God is good.
Amen.
He's in control. He's in control.
Amen. Okay, well, we're going to go to our song book, page 7, Shelter in the Storm, and we'll have fun. Oh, sure, Gary.
Yesterday, standing out was here at church, and we were just setting things up, you know, for children's church this morning.
Oh,
yeah. And these chairs there, so we'll just set them up. And lo and behold, this morning, all but 3 of them filled up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a blessing. Huh? That's good. You know that at least you got things done. All in.
We had to put the chair someplace.
So it's pretty wild. Okay. Are they still there now? Oh, here you go. We'll fix it up maybe later on. Okay. We'll go to page 7 on our songbook and Shelter in the Storm, then we'll have an offering. So sing first and the last. The Lord our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the dark of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, rock divine refuge, a shelter in the time of storm. Forever near, a shelter in a time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus in a weary land, a shelter in a time of storm. Amen. Thank you, Zuriel. She wakes up in the morning. You know that she's awake because the piano is playing. The little ones, you can never tell if they're awake or they're still asleep. But when Zuriel is awake, you know she's awake because the piano is playing. That's what she does at home in the morning. April 15 will be our Lord's Supper. Please don't forget. April 15 is 2 Sundays from now. I think it's been 2 months since we've had a Lord's Supper. So put that on your calendar along with the rest of the ones that we noted this morning. So April 14, which is a Saturday, the youth will have an activity. First Baptist Church in Lemon Grove at 2 p.m. I think Sister Ruthie will be back by then. And then April 15 will be our communion service, our Lord's Supper. And then this is the wrong date. The Saturday before that, while the youth are having an activity, if you could be here in church for our monthly cleanup day. I appreciate the hot walkers. I came in and I was looking at the floor. There's something different with the floor. Like, am I going blind? Is it my eye? Because it was bright. The floor was shiny. Amen. And the decorations, of course. And I appreciate everyone for all the work that you do. This morning was definitely a blessing. The side of the building, every pew was filled. There was no place to sit on this side. There's a handful of seats on this side, not counting the 35 children that are on the fellowship hall. So it's definitely a blessing. Amen. No special number? Anybody want to sing a special? Jelena? All right. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Looking at verses 23 to 25. Romans 3, 23 to 25. We're going to continue our study on soteriology. Soteriology. Romans 3, 23. All the way to 25. Romans 3:23, just follow along with me, and then I ask Brother Dom in the back, I'm glad to see him, to pray for this lesson tonight. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. A lot in these verses. There's a lot of things in these verses. We're going to deal with them one by one individually, carefully, delicately dissecting the Word of God as we have been commanded in 2 Timothy 2:15. Brother Don, can you pray for this lesson, please? Seated. We open up with a very familiar verse, also known as the Romans Road. We often refer, as we're witnessing to people, we often refer them to this verse that says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
The indication there is that that is pertaining to the Jews and the Gentiles, and it's saying that they are pretty much alike. When it comes to achieving righteousness, it does not matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not a single person on earth who has not sinned. All you do, like I said last service, all you do is you run yourself through the Ten Commandments. Okay? Run yourself through the Ten Commandments. Also, let's take a look. That's a good exercise. Turn to Exodus, right? Let's see if all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I want you to, as we go through this list of the Ten Commandments, you tell me if you qualify. Amen? Let's see if we qualify. Exodus chapter 20. Let's take a look. Okay, hold your text on Romans chapter 3. Let's go through the Ten Commandments. Verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name... let's start with verse 3, right? I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Guilty? Not guilty. Raise your hand. Yea or nay? Shall have no other gods before me. The question is, what do you consider to be a god? Or anything that is in place of God can be your god. Anything that's placed in a pedestal higher than God becomes your god. So you fill in the blank, right? I'm not the judge. You be the judge for today. Guilty or not guilty? Verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Graven meaning something with a shape, a three-dimensional shape, or any likeness. It could be two-dimensional, such as a picture, right? Or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Guilty or not guilty? Don't answer it for yourself. Just go through the list with me, right? Guilty or not guilty? Verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Well, you say, well, Pastor, I never used the name of the Lord in vain. What about variations of his name? Amen. I used to hear it when I was growing up, when something drops, when you accidentally drop something or you were surprised by something, you know what we say? Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, right? Or whatever, something of that sort. That's what we do. Jesus, Mary, Joseph. That's like my mama. That's what she would always say. Jesus, Mary, Joseph, right? Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Guilty or not guilty? I'm not pointing out to her. I'm not picking on her. I'm just saying, in general, you say, well, I don't use the name of the Lord in vain. But what variation of the name of the Lord, the name of God, do you use? You fill in the blank. Guilty or not guilty? We have expressions in our culture, right? That if we are not careful, it doesn't sound like a cuss. It doesn't sound like it's God's name, but you know they're just replacing it to make it sound like it's godly when you're really meant to say God's name. Amen? Amen. Where are we at now? Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You set a day out of your week dedicated to God. As in like nothing else, just God. Just for God. Guilty or not guilty? Let's keep going. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. Guilty or not guilty? Are we setting aside time for God? Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Guilty or not guilty? How many of you have a check mark? How many of you have 5 X's right now? Right? Thou shalt not kill. Ah, finally a check mark, right? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Ah, finally a check mark. Wait a minute, let's turn to Matthew. Let's say, finally I got a check mark. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 21. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21-22. Before you give yourself a check mark on that number 7 or number 6, Matthew 5, 21 says, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill." That's Exodus chapter 20. "And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment." Who's speaking? How do you know? Red letter. Right? It's red letter. "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou..." What? Have you ever called someone a fool? "Thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire." Guilty or not guilty? Do we give a check mark or still an X? Right? Well, I've never committed adultery. Okay, well, let's take a look at verse 27. Take a look at verse 27. "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery." And you say, "Oh, yes, finally." Check mark. Verse 28. "But I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman..." In our today's society, you might as well say, "Whosoever looketh upon a man," right? "To lust after her," or him, in the society we live in today, "hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Guilty or not guilty? Go back to Exodus. How many of you have 3 check marks? 2? Going once? Verse 15. "Thou shalt not steal." I've never stolen anything. Let me ask you a question. You get paid for 8 hours a day, right? When you were working? Or those of you that are working? Do you work the entire 8 hours? I know you're allowed a break, 30-minute break. That's California labor law, right? But do you honestly put in 8 hours of work that you're getting compensated for? Guilty! I raise my 2 hands to that. Because most of the time I'm just sitting down doing nothing, reading. You see? "Thou shalt not steal." "Thou shalt not bear..." Oh, verse 16. "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." Have you ever spoken someone about someone badly in a negative way without even knowing if it's true? That's bearing false witness, right? Guilty or not guilty? All right, don't raise your hand again. verse 17, the covetousness. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife or husband, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. 10. How many of you had one check mark? 2, 3? Nobody? 10? 10 check marks? Romans 3:23 says, and even if you had one or two check marks, you know what the truth is? When you go to James 2:10, just take a look. Say, so, well, Pastor, I was able to get 3 out of 10. I'm doing a pretty good job, right? Let's take a look. Is that James? where's my James at? All these tabs, and I still get lost. James chapter 2, verse 10. So you said I got one or two check marks off of that. That's not bad, right? James 2:10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point. What does that say? He's guilty of all. Oh my. Your one remaining check mark gets crossed off by the 9. Imagine? And that's just the 10 commandments. How many commandments do you think, how many laws do you think were written by Moses? There were ceremonial laws. There were sacrificial laws. There were judicial laws. How many of those have you broken? What's the point? The point is, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's like when Zifron plays basketball. He's getting better and better at it too. When he's playing basketball, he has a little 5-year-old and 6-year-olds in his team, and a lot of them are trying to shoot from the 3-point line. They're all trying, but because they're just little kids, they think they can shoot from the 3-point line. Sometimes they get it, but most of the time the ring is right here. Their balls are just and sometimes they go overboard too. They hit the back wall, they miss, they come short of the glory of God. And that's the nature of mankind. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then comes verse 24. Verse 24 says, being justified freely by his grace. The first word I want you to understand, to underline or highlight, is the word justified. So the lesson is on soteriology, or the doctrine of salvation. How can we be saved then? That's what Job asked. How can a man be righteous? We've spent 2 services talking about the doctrine of justification. Amen? Oh, somebody played with these markers. I ran out. We've talked about justification for about 2 services. What is justification? It is being declared righteous. The difference is, you are not righteous, you are declared righteous. What's the difference? The difference is, you're still a sinner. To be justified means, oh no, you're still a sinner, but you have been declared righteous. That's the doctrine of justification. You are still sinful. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you have been justified. You have been declared to be righteous. And then comes the next doctrine. Being justified freely by his grace. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. freely by his, you can't pay for it. There's no payment for it. And there's no amount of money that you can give. There was a man, a sorcerer in the book of Acts, who saw the miracles of the apostles perform miracles. And you know what he said? What was his name? That sorcerer. He said, here's some money so I can have the same power that you have. Remember him? You know what the apostle said? Oh, you're a fool. You thought you can buy the grace of God. You cannot buy the grace of God. Remember that? Being justified freely by his grace through, the next one is this word called redemption. I want you to pay attention tonight because I'm going to go through some topics that you may not have heard of. What's that word?
Redemption.
Redemption. Oops. Redemption. If justification means to be declared righteous, what is redemption? What does it mean to be what is redemption? Redemption is the payment that buys the sinner from the penalty, from God's wrath. Okay? So when you see the word redemption, a word to redeem, right? Redeem. Think of it as if you go to a pawn shop, right? You ever been to a pawn shop? If you go to a pawn shop, you give him your item, in exchange you get money, right? There's the redemption, the payment, right? The payment. But redemption under soteriology or the doctrine of salvation is the payment that buys the sinner from God's wrath. The Bible says you have been purchased with his blood. Amen? That's what it means, to be redeemed. There's payment that God paid for you to be free from the penalty of sin. That's redemption. That's the payment. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption, this payment, according to Romans 3:24, is in Christ Jesus. Okay? Whom God had set forth to be, here comes the next doctrine, propitiation. Okay? It all ends in I-O-N. What is propitiation? Propitiation is the satisfaction of the person who receives the payment. Okay? If I owe Brother Romel some money, okay, the money that I pay is the redemption of what I owe him. His acceptance or satisfaction that my payment is enough is propitiation. Are you confused? You just follow me. Okay, there's several, about 10 of them, that we're going to break down into different segments. So redemption is the payment. Justification is the declaration. Propitiation is the satisfaction. Is he satisfied with my payment? Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. God the Father being satisfied with the redemption. That's what propitiation means. Is God the Father satisfied with what Jesus Christ has redeemed us with, his blood? Does that satisfy what we owe God? Make sense? Propitiation. And it is through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the... This is where I'm trying to get at. What's that word? Redemption. I'm going to have to hide these markers next time so the kids don't...
what's that word? Remission, right? Remission. I-O-N again.
For the remission of sins. For the remission of sins. What does that mean? The remission is the application of the payment. Remission, I don't think it's even. Maybe it's more work. So, oh, there you go. So, remission is the application of payment to the account, to your account. Okay? Remission. Different from redemption. Okay? Redemption is the payment. The remission is the application of the payment to your account. Okay? Think of it in terms of loans and owing a debt to somebody. That's how you'd understand it. This redemption, this payment, was the blood of Jesus Christ. It was applied to your soul to remit your soul from the penalty of sin. Okay? There's a difference between the two. Now that comes into play later to understand. Let me finish first and then I'll go back to the difference between the redemption and the remission. Let me finish a couple more things. Another one is that you're going to come across is expiation. We'll get back to this, okay? There's a reason why they're different. Expiation. Means the purging. Okay? The purge means, the best way to explain it is I have a note, a bill. I got a bill that says, you owe me this much. Okay? Ever receive a bill for a credit card? Or a home loan, a car loan? You get that bill, right? See that bill? The person who sent it to you says, here's a lighter, I'm going to burn that bill. Okay? Purging. Also, or cleansing. To be cleansed. Okay? The next one, to differentiate, is imputation. In chapter 4, we'll talk more about imputation. We've kind of touched on it when we were talking about justification. Imputation has something to do with substitution. Remember what we said? To be imputed righteousness means the righteousness was not yours. What you had was unrighteousness. God did this. His righteousness placed on you. Your unrighteousness placed on him and cost him his death. That's the doctrine of imputation. Okay? Imputation, substitution, that's what that means. Something that does not belong to you is given to you. And then there's regeneration. Regeneration. You know, it's been decades since I've heard someone teach these things. Really. It's been decades. I don't remember at least 10 years since I've heard these things being taught. I remember them when I first got saved in Sunday school, circa 1997 to year 2000. I remember them being taught. From year 2000, it's now 2018, I don't remember a single preacher mention the word justification, redemption, propitiation, remission, expiation, regeneration. Maybe I'm just not paying attention. But the last 18 years, all I've heard is love your wife, love your husband, be a good person. What happened to this? Amen? Well, what is regeneration? A regeneration is the implantation of a new life. a new life. The picture that you could have is Sister Connie gave a baby plant to Sister Sally, right? You got the dead seed, you water it, it buds life, regeneration. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That thing that was dead was given life, has been regenerated. Okay? Given a new life. And then there's reconciliation. Okay? What does it mean to reconciliate? What is reconciliation? That one's pretty simple, right? Reconciliation is, you have two parties that are at war with each other. Two parties that initially had a relationship. That relationship was broken. They have to be reconciled. Okay? And that's what happened to God and man. That relationship was broken in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve sinned, that relationship was broken. That had to be reconciled. By the blood of Christ, we are reconciled with God by His faith. Okay? Getting close? Adoption. I'm out of space.
I need a bigger board. Adoption. What is adoption? No one is easy to understand, right? The concept of adoption is you're not a member of somebody's family by blood, but by law, you were placed into that family. You've been adopted into that family. Through Jesus Christ, we are adopted into the family of God. Okay? And then finally, actually not finally, two more. Sanctification. Sanctification. What is sanctification? We turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Sanctification means to be set apart. Sanctification has three parts. There's a past, there's a present, and there's a future sanctification. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I think it's verse 10. Yep. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, the Bible says, who delivered us from so great a death, delivered past tense, and doth deliver, present tense, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver, future tense. So you have there, in there, the initial sanctification of the believer. The moment you place your trust in Jesus Christ, you have been set apart unto him. But you need progressive sanctification. That means on a day-to-day basis, you have to live a life that is set apart from the world. Amen? Your final sanctification does not happen until Jesus Christ comes, until we get raptured out of here. That's your final sanctification. That's in the future. You are going to be completely set apart. Aren't we set apart already from this world? Yeah, we are, because we're believers. But we're still living in the world, aren't we? So there must be then a need for a final sanctification wherein we, the believer, is completely separated from this earth, from everything that does not belong to God. That's future sanctification. That future sanctification is also known as... Trumpets, please. Glorification. You know when that glorification occurs? When is your body glorified according to Romans? When you get raptured out of here. When that which is corruptible has been transformed into something that's incorruptible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Amen? That is your glorification. Amen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, the dead in Christ shall rise and shall be raised up with him, right? And those that are asleep, that's our glorification.
So all of these things fall under the doctrine of salvation, soteriology. Okay? There's a difference. There's a different aspect to every one of them, but all of these are important to understand how are we saved. Now let's go back to, I said we were going to revisit redemption and remission, right? Enter the Church of Christ. Acts 2:38. Go to Acts 2:38. So now that you have an understanding of what does it mean to be saved, then comes Satan that tries to counter everything that we just talked about. Acts 2:38 says what? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to underline a phrase on that verse, for the remission of sins. You see that? Not for the redemption, for the remission of sins. Question. Does it mean you need to be baptized for your sins to be remitted?
No.
Okay? I want you to marvel at the genius of the translators of the King James Bible. In your King James Bible is a built-in dictionary that helps you to understand concepts in the Bible so that you do not fall under the teachings of the cults. Go back to our text in Romans chapter 3, verse 25. Romans chapter 3, verse 25. Carefully now. Carefully. Romans 3:25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness. What's the phrase say? For the remission of sins that are past. The reason why it's worded like that is so that you can cross-reference other verses that will explain to you what that means. What does the phrase for the remissions of sins mean? Because the Church of Christ says in Acts 2:38, and they claim that the meaning of Acts 2:38 is that you need to be baptized for the remission of sins. Meaning, they're saying that in order for your sins to be remitted, in order for you to get saved, you got to get baptized. Acts 2:38. Well, hang on. How do you know that that's the meaning of for the remission of sins? What you do is you follow the Bible. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you compare Scripture with Scripture. So you find verses that says, for the remission of sins, and use how that phrase is being used in that context. And you know what you'll find? The meaning of that phrase, for the remissions of sins? It doesn't mean get baptized so that you'll get saved. The meaning of that is because you are saved. Okay, how do I know? Well, let's take a look at a couple of verses that uses that phrase, that phrase for the remission of sin. We've looked at one, Acts 2:38. We've looked at another one, Romans 3:25. I want you to also see Luke 3:3. Luke chapter 3, verse 3. Luke chapter 3, verse 3. Notice the built-in dictionary of not just words, but of phrases that help us to define the meaning of a phrase. Luke chapter 3, verse 3, you'll see that phrase again. Let's take a look here. Verse 3 says, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance. What does that say again? For the remission of sins. The same phrase? Yes, right?
The same phrase. Another verse. Matthew 26:25. Let's take a look. What does that phrase mean? For the remission of sins. Does it mean that baptism remits my sin and saves me? Or does it mean because of? Matthew 26:25, pertaining to the Lord's Supper. You know what Jesus Christ said? For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. See that phrase again? For the remission of sins. Any baptism there? What remits our sin? The blood of Jesus Christ. You see? The blood of Jesus Christ is what remits our sin. What remits sin, what applies the payment to our account, is the shed blood of Jesus Christ, not baptism. So the meaning of Acts 2:38 then is not, it's not to be baptized so that your sins will be forgiven. No, be baptized because your sins have been forgiven. Make sense? What do? We compare scripture with scripture. You find that phrase, for the remission of sins. You take any a computer or any Bible app, you type in the phrase, and you find all of the other verses that show you that phrase, and then you'll understand the biblical definition, biblical meaning, according to context. This is the rule of context when you're interpreting scripture. The rule of context. The rule of comparison and the rule of context. Okay? Now, the confusion is this. Redemption versus remission. People think that they are the same. As we saw, as we've defined it, obviously they are not. Redemption is the payment. Remission is the application of the payment. How does that come into play? We need to understand this before we approach Romans chapter 4 when we're dealing with Abraham, the faith of Abraham. Okay, we'll separate the two next time because I got 5 minutes left. Okay, I'm going to keep you in suspense. What's the difference between redemption and remission? People, they would switch the word and say, well, redemption is the same as remission. Not really. If you think they are the same, you're going to get confused when we get to chapter 4, when we're dealing with the faith of Abraham, which is different from the faith of the believer. Amen? Let's continue this lesson next Wednesday. I hope you'll be here. Is this an important doctrine? Is it an important study? That's how you got saved. That's how we are saved. And if you don't understand this doctrine, if you don't have a full grasp of this, I tell you, there any Church of Christ disciple will pull out verses in front of you and you won't be able to refute it. Any one of them, any one of their so-called pastors. They say, well, what about this verse? What about Acts 2:38? What about 1 Peter 3:21? The one that says, let's see this one in the last verse. I go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, here's one of their favorite verses. Look at verse 21. Every Church of Christ theologian will refer you to just three verses. Acts 2:38, Mark 16:16, and 1 Peter 3:21. Their entire church is founded on those three verses. Let me say it again. Write it down. Acts 2:38, Mark 16:16, and 1 Peter 3:21. Okay? In 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure were unto even baptism that also now save us. And they like to put a dot there. They like to put a period there. Do you see a period in your Bible? After that phrase? No. As a matter of fact, it tells you very specifically, not water baptism. Where does it say that? Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when you confront them about that, what about the parentheses? When you confront them about the parentheses, you know what they're going to do? Well, the original Greek says this. The original Greek defines it like this. That's how they get you. And then when they say the original Greek, they would refer you to a Greek theologian by the name of Thayer. T-H-A-Y-E-R. Thayer's Greek dictionary says this about this verse. That's when I just go, that's when I just flip out. I lose my mind and I go, is your authority the word of God or some other one man Greek? You see? Keep coming, okay? Keep coming. Sunday night, Wednesday night, and we'll study the word of God together.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. Let's close in prayer, and we do have a lot of leftovers from this morning. So, Brother John, I know you missed this Sunday morning. I know you wanted to come, but because of your work schedule, but we do have a lot of leftovers. Please stick around. Say goodbye to my brother David. He'll be waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Okay, and the Navy's gonna take him in. And he will never be able to leave again. Come 4 o'clock in the morning, he becomes the property of the United States government. 4 o'clock in the morning. That's tomorrow. So, that's why don't we all pray for him? Let me have three men. If you could just lift up your voice. Brother Romel, Brother Gary, and... Brother John, do you mind lifting up your voice and pray for my brother David as he leaves for the Navy? And then Brother Dom, just for a few minutes, we'll just pray for him, okay? And then we'll be dismissed for fellowship. Come, Brother Romel.